Gracious and abundant God, we thank you for the love that you share with us in Jesus Christ each and every day. As we accept that love, as we tell others about it, may we share it with the world through our gestures, through our mission, through our service to one another, through our love for others and for the world. Instill in us your grace, O God, that we may fully love you and love one another. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember what it was like when you were a child and teams were chosen? Maybe for volleyball, maybe for kickball, maybe for softball or some other game. Sometimes it happened after school, sometimes it happened on a weekend, or maybe you played with a church team. One of the methods I remember included first determining two captains. The one captain tossed the baseball bat to the other captain, and they entered into a process of putting fist upon fist, one above the other, so that the bat would fill up with their hands until no room was left. The captain who won the chance to have the first pick of team members was the one who got the very last space on the top of the bat. And once the captain with first choice was determined, that's when the agonizing part started for everyone else. It was agonizing thinking about who would be chosen. Would you be chosen first? Would you be chosen last? It was a painful experience for most. And it was probably an affirming experience for others, those that had a talent in that particular sport. If we're honest with ourselves, I am betting that most of us would have wanted to have been chosen first, or at least in the first round. So I wonder why. If it's true that most of us would have wanted to have been chosen early, why we have such problems with the idea of being chosen when we speak of the concept in religious terms? The obvious is that we don't want to be identified with the types of religions that are exclusive, with God choosing some and ignoring others. We don't want to be identified with fundamentalist forms of religious expression, claiming that there is one way of belief, one way into heaven, one way of religious expression, and that some are more choose-worthy than others. We aren't comfortable thinking of ourselves as chosen by God because we can't easily accept that concept without thinking of who might not be chosen. Or maybe it's simply that if we are chosen for something and by someone, it might mean extra work for us. This concept, not wanting to be noticed for possible extra work, is exactly why heads go down when the pastor or committee chair is getting ready to choose someone to pray at the end of a meeting. I've seen all of you do it. Pastor Robin, will you pray? Whatever our fight might be with the theological concept of being chosen, chosen by God, it's a curious struggle given how much we want to be chosen in most other life situations. I've had a fair number of conversations over the years with people struggling with the concept of Jesus. How to view Jesus, what to believe about Jesus, and how to reconcile a desire to be inclusive and tolerant of all other forms of religious belief on one hand, with a felt need to zero in on just why Jesus is important and distinctive for us on the other hand. I've wrestled with these same pushes and tugs over my own journey of faith, sometimes wondering what would happen if I just let go of the Jesus stuff. Early in my Christianity, it was easier to talk about God and not talk about Jesus Christ. There was actually a time in my life when Judaism looked extremely appealing to me. And then a passage like today's passage confronts me and I become captured by Jesus again. First, Jesus tells his disciples, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." I was reminded this week as I prepared for this sermon that many ordination services have those words on the front of the bulletin. I'm intrigued and amused by these words, especially because we spend so much time struggling over whether we choose Jesus. We struggle to what degree we accept Jesus. We ask ourselves how much we really believe in Jesus. Just how central should Jesus be in our own theological constructs? I'm amused because none of it, not even the wrestling, is our choice. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Why me? Why you? Even if you are questioning who Jesus is and wondering if all of what we hear about him is true, why? A lot of other friends of yours aren't struggling, so why you? Why me? Loads of people you know aren't intrigued by the story and stay as far away from issues of faith as possible. Why aren't you one of those? Could it be that Jesus chose you whether or not you struggle with him to be part of the story? To keep wrestling with how your own story fits into what I will call the story? This passage about Jesus has captured me. In my reading, I was reminded that rabbis then didn't choose their students. The students wanting to learn from a rabbi chose the rabbi they wanted to study with. They sought him out and vied to be his student. The rabbis of the day simply waited and let the students flock to them, but Rabbi Jesus turned that concept upside down and told the disciples that he chose them. They were his choice. He wanted them. And so whether you have fallen hook, line, and sinker for Jesus, or aren't quite sure yet about whether he was once important to your faith, and you find him less so now, could it be that it has been Jesus all along who has chosen you, nevertheless, to be here, to question, to struggle, to doubt? Why you? And why not some of your friends or other family members? Chosen? You? Me? Jesus tells his disciples that they are no longer slaves, but instead friends. He has chosen them to be his friends because he has told them everything they need to know. It's not a master-slave relationship, but a mutual relationship. Thomas Aquinas once said that our goal should be that of becoming friends with God, and that as with any good friend, once we are friends with God, we take on God's characteristics as our own, little by little. Abraham Kuyper, a Dutch journalist and statesman, said, "He is your friend who pushes you nearer to God." We are affected by our good friends. We adopt some of their ways of being. We learn from them, and sometimes we even disagree with them. Jesus calls us friends, no longer slaves or servants, but friends. I was interested to find out that one of the possible translation choices for friend in this passage is fond ones. You are my fond ones. We wrestle with Jesus and we thank God we have the freedom to do so, but he has called you and me his fond ones. One scholar has written that being friends of Jesus means being captured by the story, following the sometimes comforting, sometimes disturbing plot that leads to the cross and the empty tomb, and finding it in the light to guide their way in the world. You did not choose me, but I chose you. You are no longer servants, but instead friends, because servants don't know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends or fond ones or partners because I have let you in on everything that I have heard from my Father. And last, If it's true that Jesus has chosen you and me, no matter where we are on the journey, we know that we have the freedom to say yes or no to his choice. Jesus chose his disciples not simply to be in some kind of special club, but for the purpose of loving. And so often we are overwhelmed by the beginning verses of this passage, which instruct us to love one another just as Jesus has loved us. We become overwhelmed because we wonder how we can love as Jesus loved. How we can love so much that we might be willing to give up our life just as Jesus did. I feel resistance and fear and inadequacy over that thought because I can't quite see myself going as far as Jesus did, and I fear suffering. The word used for just as I have loved you, is kathos in the Greek, and kathos can mean just as, and it can mean since or in so far as. Since I have loved you, love one another. Because Jesus has loved us, that's why we are called to love. It's not a commandment that is focused on loving as well as Jesus did. It's not a measuring stick. It's the same thought as we often hear in our baptism proclamation. We love because he first loved us. Since I have loved you, love one another. The word for love throughout this passage is agape, which translates into Latin as caritas, which translates into English as charity or philanthropy. Loving is having charity toward one another, even toward those whom we find it hard to befriend, wanting the best for them nonetheless. Love is being interested in the good of the other person. Living into this friendship with Jesus that calls us to love one another is a slow stretching, a disciplined habit of care and concern. And like every other virtue, it can only be perfected over a lifetime. We can keep wrestling with Jesus or not. I personally don't think my wrestling will ever stop. But now I remember that somehow, in some mysterious, grace-filled way, I've been chosen to be one of those friends who can ask questions and who can be honest and even walk away for a while. I might even doubt Jesus's love for me, but I also remember that the reason you or I have been chosen is to be lovers and to be ambassadors of that love. The very old now historic scholar William Barclay says he did not choose us to live a life retired from the world, but to represent him in the world. And he continues, when a knight came to the court of King Arthur, he did not come to spend the rest of his days in knightly feasting and in kingly fellowship there. He came to the king saying, send me out on some great task which I can do for chivalry and for you. Jesus chose us, says Barclay, first to come into him and then go out into the world. If you remember the movie Pay It Forward, you'll remember that the teacher's assignment at the beginning of the year was that his class should think about something they might do to make the world a better place. He encouraged them to experiment. Trevor, one of the class members, took the charge seriously. And as he stepped out, his efforts expanded and grew, not only in his own behavior, but in the behavior of the ones he helped. They passed on the blessing to others. They paid it forward. And that is what we have been chosen for. So we can continue to wrestle with Jesus and how Jesus fits into our belief system. We can do that. And Jesus, because he is a friend, will tolerate that in us in the midst of those doubts when we continue to help people to lay down our lives in our own ways for others, when we continue to love, we're probably still abiding in Jesus, even if we can't exactly admit it yet. But when we are honest, we admit that being chosen is a wonderful feeling. And having someone tell us they want to be our friend is pretty wonderful too. So wonderful, it makes us sometimes want to embrace the world and love just because someone has loved us. May it be so for us and for the world. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.